The Gemara Masechta Bechayrus of Zion Mabeis quotes the opinion of Rav Sheshes, which asks a question: what is the status of the Meiraglayim, the urine of a chamor of a donkey? Do we say that it's in the category of Hayotzim and Atomei? And as we've been learning in the Sugyas, Davav, Dav Zion, that anything that's Yotzim and Atomei is Tomei, or since it's just liquid that came in and liquid that came out, the halacha is that it should be Mutter. And Rav Sheshes concludes, Amalei Rav Sheshes Tanisua, Yotzim and Atomei Tor, Vayotzim and Atohor Tor, Vahani Nami, urine of a chamor, mitomei kosher, comes from this non-kosher animal, the chamor, and therefore it's osur. Eisvei, Meisvei asked the Gemara that the Brisa says, Neima omr dvash dvar mutter. Why is honey from a bee mutter? Ne shemachnisasan oison legufon. They absorb them in the body. Vemamatsasos megufon. They just are. What comes into the body is expelled from the body, and it's not manufactured from the body itself. So we see that if it's just something that passes through the body, it's mutter. So how do we understand that Rav Sheshes is telling us that the urine of a donkey is asur? On the other hand, he's saying that honey is mutter. The Brice is saying that's honey mutter. Answers the Gemara. Hudam Krab Yaakov, he's following the opinion of Yaakov that the Torah said one may consume honey. The Tanya, Rab Yaakov Oima Ach as Toichel Mikol Sheretz Oif. The Torah says this may be eaten from Sheretz Oif. Zeh, to teach us that grasshoppers at the Oichel may be eaten. Via Toichel Sheretz Oif Tami, but you may not eat the sheretz of an oif tamei. Ask the Gemara to tell us that a sheretz oif tamei is osur behedjiksef, because the pasuk says ve'es elu tashaks ben oif. Ella sheretz oif tamei at oichol. You may not eat a sheretz oif, aval at oichol mash oif tamei mashritz. You may eat what is expelled from a body of a non-kosher insect. Ve'ezeze, what does that come to teach us? Different types of insects. Amritloy, only dvash tamei. Ask the Gemara, Maris l'rabs dvash toirim l'hoitzeg gizim v'atzirim. Why do I say that this is mutter and this is not mutter? Says the Gemara, Mabani dvash toirim shein loy shein levai. Umoitzeni dvash agizim v'atzirim sheish loy shein levai. So what do we see from here? That there are two reasons why honey should be mutter. One reason honey should be mutter is because it is just a secretion of the body. And even though as Rashi and the Rambam, Rashi here, the Remachsko Shemachnisois, and the Rambam in the Pirish Mishnais, Masechet Machshirim Perek Vav Mishnah Dalet say, it's not to be assumed that it doesn't go into the body. It goes all the way into the body, but it just goes in and goes out, and therefore it's not considered produced by the body, and therefore is mutter. Well, the other reason is because the Torah has a gzeiros hakasif that makes it mutter. When we discuss this, there's a machloikus rishonim. What is the halacha? Because if we say that the reason is because it goes through the body, it doesn't go through the body, then the halacha would be that it would be not only is dvash dvarim mutter, but also all the other dvash is mutter. But if we say that the reason is because it's a gzeiros hakasif, the gzeiros hakasif only applies to dvash dvoir. And there's a very big machloikus lahalocha, machloikus rishonim. The Ramban and the Rosh hold that only Dvash Dvarim is Mutter, not Dvash Tzirin. The Rambam disagrees. And the Rambam holds that even Dvash Tzirin is Mutter. What's the Machlokes Rishonim? How to learn Pshat and Al Gemara? Do we say that it's because it's secretion and that's why it's Mutter? Or do we say it's Mutter because of Gzeres HaKosef? And the Rambam clearly holds its mutter because it's a secretion. If we look in the Shulchan Aruch, Yoridei is Simen Pei Hei, Sif Tes. We look in the Shulchan Aruch says, Dvash Tvarim Mutter. The first thing he says is that honey of a bee is mutter. Vabi Shegufa Advarim. Then he goes on to say, even though parts of the bee are Merovim Ba, parts of the bee get mixed into the honey. And when we want to separate the honey, we cook up these pieces of the bee with it, mutter. Then that's in Sif Ches. Dvash Tzirim v'gizim, pirish mini dvarim v'tzirim hem, different types of insects. The first shit of the Shulchan Aruch is the opinion of the Rambam it's mutter. V'yesh mi she'oyser, the opinion of the Rosh and the Ramban. And then the Rambam says, "V'ein on a tzrichim lachol shloy keinim motzi b'neinu klal." He says it's not something we need to think about because it's not really something that is found amongst us. This was all good and well until there was a new ingredient. It's not actually that new that came into the world. And that's called shellac. Shellac, when we think about shellac, we think about some sort of a polish. But shellac is really the secretion of the lac insect. These insects live on trees, and they ingest the tree sap, and they produce from that sap a secretion that they use to protect their larva. This secretion, which is called shellac, forms layers on the branches and then are taken off the branches. And they're dried and they're used for different food applications. The most common use for shellac was typically not used previously for food applications, but now shellac has been used coating fruits and vegetables, and most notably, shellac is used to cover candies, and it's known also as confectionery glaze. So now the question is, how do we look at shellac? Because we go back to Al Gemara. On one hand, Al Gemara says that but on the other hand, so it comes from the insect, it should be tame. The other hand, it looks like it may be considered in the same heter as honey. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva about this, and the Shalos tshuva is Igros Moshe Yoridei Chel Beis Simen Chof Dalet. Rav Moshe quotes the Machloikus of the Tanakama and Rabbi Yaakov and Al Gemara. Tanakama, on what do you call it, holds that it just comes from into the bee and out of the bee, that the bees suck nectar from flowers and then deposit them in special honey sacks, and then that nectar is converted into honey. But it was never digested by the bee. And even though the nectar itself is not honey, but since the nectar is the main ingredient of the honey, says the pre-toyer, that's enough to say the svar of the Tanakama. Rabbi Yaakov holds because it's a gzeiros hakosef. And then afkamina, as we said, is what's going to be the halacha of Gizin and Sirin. Rav Moshe gives four reasons in that tshuva why it should be kosher. Number one, he says that the Rambam, as we just quoted, Hilchos Maschos, Asuras Perek Gimel, Halacha Gimel, and the Shulchan Aruch, Paskin, that it's not just Dvash Dvorim that it's mutter, but it's also Dvash Gizim and Tzirim. And he says that the Shalak is the same. The Shalak is not the same. Of course, Rav Moshe says that this Svara will only work according to Tanna Kamma. According to Rav Yaakov, who says it's a special Gzeiros HaKosef, it wouldn't work. However, Rav Moshe wants to suggest that it could be that even Rav Yaakov would agree that Shalak, Rav Yaakov of Av Gemara, Shalak is permitted. He says, Av Gemara, Rav Yaakov says that the Gzeiros HaKosef only applies to honey. The Vash alone, whenever the Torah uses the word Vash, it means bees honey, not Gizim Mitzirin. What does that mean? Why are gizim and gizim honey, tziri honey, not considered honey? Dvash. The Levush explains that since they're always called gizim honey, dvash gizim, dvash tzirin, so that's why they're still connected to their non-kosher source, and therefore they remain non-kosher because they're connected to the name gizim and tzirin. Whereas dvash of dvarim is called plain dvash. The Mashal has a different explanation. He says the word zeh comes to say only one thing is mutter. So only gizim and tzirim, only dvash dvarim is what the Torah said is mutter, because that's called dvash. There's no het for gizim and tzirim because there's no pasuk that says gizim and tzirim are mutter. Says Rav Moshe, Rav Yaakov only included one substance, and that's honey. But according to Rav Moshe, anything that's not connected to its original source, because it doesn't include the name Gizin, it doesn't have the original name of the non-kosher in it. So he says, therefore, Shalak, which is not connected by name to its original source, maybe mutter. Of course, it's a difficult heter. First of all, because according to the Marshal's explanation, it's not a heter. And number two, because Marshal says that the Gzeiros HaKosef only applies by honey, nothing else. And number two, the word shellac does have the word lac insect in it. Another heter Rav Moshe gives, Rav Moshe says, is the Gemara says that an egg produced by a chicken with a physical defect, a chicken that's trefa, is not kosher. But the Gemara quotes, what's going to be the halacha with a chick? Not the egg that comes from a trefa, what about the chick? And the halacha is that the chick is kosher, even though it came from a trefa. Because when the egg gets fertilized, it deteriorates to a point of becoming entirely inedible. It's a Gemara Masechet Tamura, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. Says Rav Moshe that kol ayotzei min hatamei, only when the non-kosher animal creates food. But when what is created is not food, it's something else that's not a food, that's inedible, that's not, there we don't have a halach of kol ayotzei min hatamei tamei. And shellac is not tasteable, it's tasteless, and therefore it doesn't fall into the category of yotzei min hatamei. Rav Moshe gives another heter, since in the preparation of the shellac, it's dissolved in alcohol, so it's bottled in the alcohol. Therefore, Rav Moshe held that you may use shellac. There are many opinions that disagree. In other words, the Gemara is very clear. Even if you're paskin like the Tanakhama, the Gemara, as we quoted the explanation of Rambam and Rashi, is very clear that honey is unique in the fact that nothing else is involved in the production and producing the honey. We're not quite certain if that's the same by shellac. It could be that the insects, enzymes, and other parts contribute to the production of the shellac. The second reason, Ramosha's heter based on the Lavush, that shellac is not connected to its original origin, is that, number one, the word shellac does have, the name shellac does have shellac in it. And number two, when we say the word zeh, it's talking about flying creatures. Devarim, if you want to say devash devarim, and you want to say shellac is like devash devarim, honey, the lac insect, is not a sheretz ha'if. Regarding the Gemara, that the egg that became into a chick, is there was deterioration. Here, there was no deterioration. It wasn't the food, but there was no deterioration. And the heter that it's bottled in alcohol, when they actually apply, the alcohol is only used in producing the shellac, but then it's evaporated. And the shellac that remains on the candy is almost pure shellac. So therefore, we have a big shaila, what is the halacha of shellac? Interestingly enough, there's a tshuva on this subject as well in the Miches Yitzchak, Chelik Yud, Simen Samachay. The Miches Yitzchak takes, at the beginning, quite a lenient position. He says, first of all, the shellac, he felt, the way it was described to him, was not pure shellac. There were other ingredients involved in the application of the shellac. And the entire purpose of the shellac is to give the candy a shine that will last, that will not evaporate. So he says, it's a zev zeh goyrim for chazusa. And also, he goes into the explanation that we gave, that shellac may be similar to honey. So it seems that he takes a lenient approach. But then at the end, he takes a turn, and he says that even though he would be makel, since he's not quite certain how the shellac is produced, he ends up saying, the l'chatchila, one should not use shellac on the candy.